Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Spoke, the all-new and exclusive podcast series with me, Chidera, a.k.a. The Slum Flower.
And me, Sully Breaks, poet, writer, spoken word, artist, etc., etc.
Where we discuss issues at the heart of youth culture and how music and literature are shaping the conversation.
Artists such as Eminem, Jay-Z and Chance the Rapper are undeniable icons of their industry. Each have the unique ability to speak to their fans by telling their story through their lyrics. However, at some point in their careers, each of these rappers has used homophobic slurs in their songs.
And they're not alone. As a society, the language we use to discuss LGBTQ people is seriously problematic. Artists who take the brave step to come out run the risk of being abused, pigeonholed, or sidelined by their peers and fans. Music in particular, hip-hop and rap, has always been an outlet for those who've been oppressed and marginalised. It's a chance to come together and celebrate identity and expression. So why is the same opportunity not given to those from the LGBTQ community?
However, with artists such as Ollie Alexander, Tyler the Creator and Lady Leisha speaking out about their sexuality, are times finally changing? And can our generation be the one to create a platform for LGBTQ artists to tell their story?
In this episode, we discuss sexuality and how it affects your identity as an artist. I'm really fascinated by this conversation that we're going to have.
Yeah, I'm interested myself as well.
I think the landscape of entertainment is changing so, so much, especially in light of people finally revealing their true selves and being given room to embrace and express themselves. And that's evident from the little things like Kalani being able to write a love song and she's referring to a woman and boldly using the pronouns her and referring to this woman that she's in love with on the song Honey, which I really, really love. And
I haven't even heard the song, to be honest.
It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, but I like Kalani though. She's cool, man.
She's
like
wonderful. She's wonderful. And I think
she's actually expecting a baby, right?
Yeah, she's got a little baby coming. And you know what? Even the conversation surrounding that has been really, really sticky because...
What's the conversation?
Well, Kalani, to my knowledge, identifies as bisexual.
Yeah.
And obviously she's got a baby coming, but people assumed that because she's made a song about women and she has had romantic encounters with women that people are aware of, that for some reason it's strange that she's pregnant. You know, that leads into the conversation of like bi erasure, which I'm sure we'll get into later on in this really awesome discussion, but... Yeah, I'm really curious to learn from our two wonderful guests who...
Me too.
We are very, very blessed to be
in
the
presence of. We are welcome to present to the stage. You know, right now, the way we do this is like, we do the grand entrance, innit? So you guys, when we want you to introduce yourself, we don't want...
No downplaying.
Yeah.
None of that.
You know what I'm saying? It's like grand entrance, you know what I mean? This is your Oscar moment, you know? Thank God, thank your mum, everybody, you know what I'm saying? But just say what you got to say. So first, who would like to introduce himself first?
To the left.
Emenike wants to go first.
Oh, to the right. To the right. We
she
have.
First, so
do you know what, yeah?
Actually,
I'm gonna say it before you say it, yeah. Just so you know.
Okay.
Emenike has like written a song for like Beyonce, just so you know. Like, it's a bit mad.
Just casually.
Casually.
As you do.
Casually as you do. He's worked for it. He's earned it. All of it. You deserve absolutely all of it. Do you want to introduce yourself before I just keep on going? Because I can go on forever.
Hi everyone.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
Yes.
Right. It came with a tone, boy. With a phone voice, boy.
Okay. Hi everyone. I'm Emenike. I just turned 24.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And yeah, I'm a singer, I'm a songwriter, I'm a producer, and I'm an out gay black man. And this is my story. No, but yes.
You recently released a very new project, haven't you?
Yes, I released my debut album, Language, in September.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Cold, it's cold.
There's many bangers on there.
So
Thank
many,
you very much.
So many. Like, it's not skippable.
Yeah, the second tune. What's the second tune? I'm really bad with titles of tracks.
Is it the one where she Correct. Gets, where she gets, where she gets?
I love Telephone as well.
Wrong.
Yeah, no, that's the first. That's
Wait,
the intro.
What do you mean gets her name wrong? Is it narrative?
So, the intro of the album, I talk about how people like get my name wrong.
And, oh, okay.
Like, is it Mnek? Mnek? It's M N E K.
And then it goes into the next song, but
the next one is my favorite.
Oh, correct.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, great tune.
Well, wonderful. And to the left, we have the delightful, amazing. She's wearing the most beautiful orangish red with matching nails turtleneck. We've got Hattie Collins. Do you
Hi.
Want to introduce yourself and tell us about the wonderful work you've been doing?
Real
in the
legend
industry?
In the team.
I've also written for Beyonce.
Cheers!
In my dreams last night. Great dream. No, I've not written for Beyonce. Nowhere near. I guess, yeah, I'm a journalist, author. Wrote a book a couple of years ago called This Is Grime with one of your guests that was on a few weeks ago. Olivia Rose took the pictures.
Oh yeah, dream collab.
Yeah, dream team. And yeah, I've just over the years I've written for everybody from it's gone blank. ID,
you know, you've got
the
so
Guardian.
Many you can't
Rewind. Don't forget Rewind.
The main years was Rewind. Yeah,
was
Rewind
culture.
Was the springboard for a lot of my career. Actually, I have to always show love to Rewind because actually that was it. Pretty much put me on the path to where I am now. Gave me loads of opportunities. So yeah, throughout the years I've been about here and there.
I know you tried to in the earlier stages of your career. You wanted to write for NME, right?
And that's exactly right. Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't.
They weren't interested.
They weren't on it.
It's mad.
Where's the NME now?
Oh, mad. Mad thing.
Doesn't exist.
Mad. I call that straight bullet. I'm catching best
rates. There's blood splattering everywhere.
I feel bad. The NME is a wonderful magazine. It's still going. I actually did write for them. I ended up doing like a Roll Deep review and a Kanye West review, I remember, and something else. Can't remember. Yeah, I wrote to them when I was first starting out. I was like, I want to be a journalist. I want to write. And they were like, you don't have the right voice. You need to develop who you are as a writer, which they had a good point. So I went off and did that and cut my teeth elsewhere. And then years later, I ended up doing the odd little bit for them. But yeah, they don't exist anymore. So online they do.
Mic drop.
But mad. Mad. It's all a bit mad, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much for that wonderful introduction. And thank you for being here.
I'm so
excited to get into the conversation. I'm going to start with Yemeni K about... And this is even to do with your recent album that you've released, which I need to just say again is absolutely incredible.
Thank you.
And
I feel like you should have made me listen to the album before.
You know that meme? Have you seen that meme of like this weird looking character and he's holding a gun to like his friend's head?
Yeah.
His friend is like a soft toy and it's like there's a TV screen. That's me and you right now. I'm holding the gun to him. Like, listen to Language.
I'll definitely. 100%. I'm going to download it on my Spotify. 100%.
Stream Language.
150%.
I need you to.
Thank you.
150%.
It's important, and like sonically, you did bits. Like you did bits.
Yeah, but he's been doing bits. That's not a surprise,
but
though. That's
he did
not
segments. That... He did amounts. Like he was.
Cool.
He was doing lots, and I appreciate that. I appreciate it highly. But what I want to really get into is because I saw how people were responding to when you released it, and I think it's really, really necessary that you discussed it, and it really sheds light on a much larger discussion about the support that we have for black gay men in music and the lack of that to begin with. And I feel like, because when I saw how people were speaking to you and how people were responding to
I got to take some responsibility. I mean, because I will say this, I think when it came down to like me, I guess, discussing it and me like getting in my bag about it and stuff, like I...
You went a bit easy on us.
Well, no, listen. Here's the thing,
nah,
right?
Y'all don't deserve no easy.
No, I'll tell you this for free, right? As a result of me going down, I guess, uncharted territory, a lot of the ways I articulate how I feel about certain things are going to be quite clumsy. And so I can even attest to that. It was very much like in the moment... And just, like, I guess a bit frustrated and... But at the same time, it does open up a conversation because I do believe that there is a conversation to be had about... There's so much segregation everywhere. You know, I'm a dual minority. Not only am I a black man in a white world, I'm a black gay man in a white world. So if I have to now think about how I'm perceived by the black community and how I'm perceived by the gay community. I don't know how to coexist yet. Not to say it's impossible, but I'm learning. You know what I mean? Especially as a visible recording artist that hasn't had like a template on how do you be a black gay pop musician.
But the thing is, as much as you've taken accountability on your part, I still feel like just because, and this is the thing, I feel that when you're in a position where you are a dual minority, like you said, that it's not your responsibility or job to articulately and nicely tell people that they have a responsibility. And I come from a group where I'm a straight, like, cis black woman, and I have a responsibility as well to make sure that you and your counterparts are looked out for. And if that means me saying, hey, everyone, like, let's stream language, let's listen to this music, let's make sure that this gets as much support as someone like maybe Stormzy would get. Because I remember when GSAP came out and everyone's like, let's stream it and stream it and stream it until like it breaks. And like that support and that community showing up, I wish that happened for this, because the project is a much larger conversation about your experience, and it's an experience that isn't documented or recorded enough. So we still have a responsibility, and I feel like on the other side of the community, it was handled badly. It was handled terribly, not by you, but by the people that you were trying to address. Like, I was seeing it all happening, and I just felt like this is not fair at all. It's not just about you. It's a much larger discussion that needs to be had. And I just wish I could get that into the minds of everyone, because you don't deserve to be in that position at all.
I appreciate it. Yeah, there's truth in that. I guess it isn't my responsibility, but I guess at the same time, it's just, how do you communicate that?
Yeah.
I've always been doing this. I've always been writing and producing for other people, and that's just what I've always done in music. But then it's different because, you know, I'm with guys in my music videos. I'm wearing makeup for my music videos. I'm doing, you know, all of the flamboyant stuff I wish I was able to be told it was okay to do.
Yeah.
As a kid. But then it's all good and well me doing that and living my best life. But then also, at the same time, I shouldn't, but then there's all the people and how they perceive it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you feel like you're sort of like a little, like on your own somewhat in who you are as a black, gay, male pop star?
In this country, yes.
In this country, because I feel like, you know, Ollie Alexander, like
Ollie's one of my good friends.
We had a chat where he was, we both kind of identified with this, like as, he's a gay, cis, male, white male, and myself as a gay, white, cis, female, we have no idea how much more privilege that we have access to. And he through his conversations with you, that's what he's realised. Mm. And that's when I sort of, when I've been thinking about that, and you know, and what, the things that you said, I just sort of feel like, wow, it feels like you're so connected to so many massive big people and you have this incredible career, but do you ever feel quite out there on your own
a little bit? That's an interesting point, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Because, I mean, but then some of it is self-inflicted, but then a lot of it is just down to the nature of just...
No, I don't want to believe that.
I say self-inflicted in the sense that I'm so aware that what I'm doing, I have to be able to communicate what I have to say quite exclusively because I've collaborated with so many people.
Your identity is not self-inflicted.
No, not my identity.
Because how people are choosing to respond to you, like, you don't even have much of a choice. You're still othered anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Of course. I'm not saying my identity is self-inflicted. It's more so the way I go about it and...
Expressing myself. It's all a learning curve, isn't it?
Yeah, like, me expressing myself and me being what I want to be.
Who do you look to as an example, as who's done this before? Yeah. How do you follow, like...
It's as a result of not wanting to fit in anyway.
Yeah.
And so, like... Okay, that makes sense. I'll be on my own if I'm not trying to fit in.
If that's required, yeah.
You know what I mean? But at the same time, it would be nice if everyone listened. But it's all good. It's all good, like, in time.
Yeah.
In time.
You've still done important work. I'm never going to stop gushing and raving about 100%.
For me, like, I just can't imagine. Like, I remember I did Emenike's biog, like, 5 years ago or something.
Long time.
How long time has changed.
We've known each other for about 10 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a long time.
I've known Hayes since I've first got in the industry.
He was 14 and I was like, I don't know if I could be talking to 14-year-olds on Instagram, on MySpace without getting arrested. Is this like an arrest moment? I don't want to...
That's when he had the high top.
Okay, I remember.
A long time ago.
He'd be Skyping me and I'd be like, I'm literally going to get arrested right now for inappropriate chat on the internet. But for me to look like all of the issues that I've had coming out as like a white, cis, female, gay, whatever, I forget all the different pronouns, but with all that stuff, like, I think, God, it's, you know, it's been hard for me. I'm still on quite a sort of, it's been quite fractured for me. I'm on a sort of a, you know, journey that shifts and moves quite a lot over the years. And then I look at you and I just think, man, you are so brave. Like, you had to carry a huge weight on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you've done that alone. And it's great that you've got people like Ollie, and I think Ollie's amazing. But it's hard because Ollie, I guess, could look to sort of, well, what did Sam Smith do? What did Boy George do? What did Jimmy Somerville build? You know, there's 30, 40 years of gay white men that they can look to in entertainment. You know, for you, I think it's hard. You're carving a path. And so I understand what you're saying. I'm trying to figure out how I express myself through my writing or in everyday life, doing podcasts like this. But for you, it's kind of 24/7. And I think it's very admirable. I think, you know, yeah, you might get it. I don't want to say the word wrong, but you might not always express yourself in the way that you want to. Yeah. Like, you'll figure it out as you go, you know?
Yeah.
What was the turning point for you? Like you're saying, we've seen a shift in society to be like, okay, you can champion who you are, you can champion sexuality. For both of you, was there like a specific moment that you remember was like, okay, this is the shift, this is where I know who I am and how I'm going to represent who I am? Because even for me as an artist, even if it's not in terms of like, just in terms of like, okay, I'm happy to champion where I'm from or where, you know what I mean? That kind of shift. Is there any time that you guys can identify and you wanted to share maybe?
I think mine's still ongoing because I'm sort of known as like a music journalist or like in some respects like a grime journalist or whatever. That's kind of what people sort of know me for. So I think I'm still working out and that's like doing things like this. Like I think the last couple of years, like when I was at ID Magazine, I did a talk at school. I can't remember what the school was now, but it was this young girl that got in touch with me. Who was like 15 or 16. And I went and spoke to the LGBT class and it blew me away. And it was one of the best things I've ever done. Like, I've interviewed XYZ people. I've done this, I've done that, blah, 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 blah. It kind of compelled in comparison.
Sorry, to you off. So when you say you went to spoke to the LGBT
class... What's it called? Like a...
It's like citizenship and like PSHE.
Yeah, I don't know. Then I went to school many years ago. Who knows? Times have changed since I was at school. But yeah, they had this whole... Well, it was like an after-school thing. And all the kids were there just sort of wanting to know. I just blew me away seeing all these young people. And as someone that is significantly older than talking to them about my experiences, it just really meant something. And I know that sounds a bit cliche or whatever, but it just really made me think a lot more about how I want to sort of, I suppose, use my identity as a writer or whatever to talk more about sexuality. So yeah, it's been. I mean, I'm old, but like for me, this has been the last couple of years. Really, I'm trying to sort of push out of being like the music writer or an editor or whatever to do someone that is talking more about sexuality and how you navigate the world as a gay person. And yeah, it's ongoing. It's an ongoing thing for me.
Interesting. Yourself?
For me, my one was I had a speech at the Attitude Awards.
Mm. What's the Attitude Awards? I'm not familiar with Attitude Awards.
Attitude is a gay publication, and it was an awards. It was an award show a couple years ago, and I'd won, I guess, like the music award for that year. And I guess it was the first time I ever really got to just like talk about everything that I've been going through. And at the time, it was really about like my parents were okay with me being gay. They're actually they are accepting of it and they understand it. But I think they struggled to grapple with it for me being in the public eye.
Oh, okay, because and, you know, and your parents, what's your heritage from?
I'm Nigerian.
Oh, okay. So I get it.
Both Igbo, gang.
Both Igbo.
Okay then, yeah.
And yeah, and I guess like it was just a conversation about, you know, my dad was like, keep your private life private. And it's like my private life would not be private if it was with a girl, but that's
exactly.
Nonetheless,
yeah. Points were made.
I mean. And so I talked about it because it was a case of like he'd seen it in a newspaper and I talked about that and I said that it's just an ongoing thing. I really wanted to reiterate in the speech that it's something that it's not like I'm suddenly out of the gates, you know what I mean? I'm constantly figuring this out and it's a long journey. And I got so many responses from, I met someone at the train station. Like I got out of the tube and then the girl was like, listen, we watched your Attitude Awards speech. Like, and my nephew who you just came out, like he was so like touched by it and he completely was so happy to feel represented. And it gave, and around that time I was still kind of conceptualizing what the album was. And I think that gave me so much more like engine fire to like go all out with it.
Yeah.
And actually
be unapologetic, basically.
Be unapologetic, yeah. And really like, and just test it and try it out and see how far I could go and just being like, the ultimate, you know, black gay pop star and really have expensive videos and fun dance performances and really go for it and actually give something aspirational and have a fun time as well.
I want to write a big gay film next. That's what I'm going to do. You know that Love, Simon that was kind of dead but kind of great that it existed? Like, it wasn't a great film, but I was like, I want to write the lesbian version of that and make like 3 milli quid.
Jeez. That's I what love I that. 3 milli quid.
Yeah, roughly, approx. That's, that's my next plan.
What's your item, by the way, Hattie?
My item is the DVD. I don't know if you're allowed a DVD, but I'm going to the DVD box set of The L Word.
Wow.
And the reason I'm choosing that is because, like I was saying earlier, my kind of, I've come in, I've gone out, I've come in, I've gone in and out of the closet so many times I've lost track. I'm very much out now.
How'd you go back
Wait,
in?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. It's You're a mystery
like,
to
I
me.
I was just joking.
I sort of, here I am. I don't even know. It's a long and boring story. Well, it's probably not boring, but it's a long and complicated story. But for the last 10, 15 years, I've been very much out, maybe 10 years. And I think that was kind of sparked by watching the whole of The L Word. Oh, I felt like finally I saw lesbians, gay women that I could, I mean, this is such a cliche thing to say, but like I could relate to. I was like, oh, obviously it was fictional, but it was just like all these women in LA living their absolute best lives, having the most amazing time. And I was like, oh, it's okay. Like, there was just a possibility for me. I just saw that. And I'd had relationships and stuff before. I don't know. I can't really define exactly what it was, but it just allowed me to feel very free. And it gave me a freedom to just move in the world in a very different way. So it wasn't like the TV's like the best TV show ever, but it was like for me the best TV show ever, if you know what I mean.
I hear that.
You hear me? Yeah.
I hear that.
Yeah.
What about you, Monique? What item did you bring?
See, I feel bad because my gifts aren't as, I guess, physical as that.
That's all right.
Tactile. I brought a couple messages.
Oh.
Because like my thing was like, it was mentioned that you could bring like a tweet or a message or something like that. Okay, so I have two sides of a coin.
Okay.
All right, I really wanted to bring this forward to you guys.
Yes, please.
All right, I'll start with the negative and end on the positive.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, cool.
All right. So I won't say the tweeter's name.
Okay.
If you need to call him out, feel free though, innit?
Listen, I've been...
We're ready to ride out.
We're giving no tips, no promo.
Listen, yeah. Don't, this is Scorpio season, but sometimes chill. all right. It says, I'm going to be real with myself and admit the reason why I still haven't attempted to listen to MNEK is because of internalized homophobia.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Mm.
So, but then, okay, I'm going to flip it and say this is a message from a kid who lives in the UK, a black gay kid. And
wait, so can we discuss the first message?
We can discuss it.
Yeah, I've got some to say.
Okay, we can... Okay.
All right.
No, hold on. No, we're all trying to ride that. Like, what do you mean?
Not even. I'm actually just being generous because I feel like, is there an appreciation for them being honest? Because I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Like,
yes.
The first time I found out Frank Ocean was gay, like, you know what I mean? When he came out, that blew my mind because I was trying to, like, because obviously he's the first kind of openly gay, like, black kind of artist that I've listened to. Mm-hmm. So the first time I found out he's gay, it blew my mind because I was trying to understand, like, oh, and it's ignorance, but it was like, so if I'm listening to him, does that make me gay? Because when he's singing about guys, I'm like, cool with singing, do you understand what I'm saying? So obviously, because I come from a background whereby like I wasn't entirely exposed to like people of different sexuality and stuff, my first thing was like, raw, like, how am I going to still listen to Frank if he's talking about men? You get what I'm saying? So I feel like, and obviously I've grown and I've matured and I'm like, you know what, he's doing his thing and the songs are banging, do you understand what I'm saying? But obviously, if that person is saying that, is that kind of like, is there an appreciation for you saying, at least they're being honest about how they feel and they're coming to, they're facing that, or is it just like, that's completely wrong? Because I feel like with everybody, and me myself as well, coming from an African religious background, whatever, you have to kind of mature into your understanding of other people's like lives and their sexuality. Do you get what I'm saying?
I mean, hey,
I mean, you don't have to agree with me. Feel free to say it's bullshit. I'm not going to be offended at all.
Okay.
Feel free.
All I'll say is that tweeting about being complicit is void.
That's a good point. I wouldn't tweet it. 100%. I would never have tweeted it. Yeah.
I think the positive thing that I would take from that and from what Sully's saying is that
the honesty is appreciated.
The acknowledgement of like
what is
the thought process and like him saying, whoever I'm doing it to him saying it's not positive, but there are I'm seeing a glimmer.
But I know what you mean.
A glimmer of something. It's like if it's not the same, but like in the trans conversation, like trying to as we navigate through that conversation, and well, I'm certainly not saying that I'm transphobic at all, but I'm trying to think of a sort of similarity, but where it's like you're going to get things wrong sometimes, and that's like at the very far end of the spectrum. That's not even, you know, it's beyond that. But I don't know. I'm just trying to say there's some ownership of something there, which, you know, isn't cool.
It's bittersweet. I just wish that, because the thing is, like, it's one thing being able to recognise something in yourself, but once you recognise it, you now have the responsibility to take action. So what there's a sense of cognitive dissonance there in that person where they're intelligent and self-aware enough to say, this
to
is
know
the
what
fear.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, like, this is my fear. But then it's like, so you're aware that the fear exists, but you're not going to do anything about it. Like, it just feels like you're being a prick.
Yeah.
So that's not good enough. That's not good enough.
Yeah, agreed.
So what's the positive aspect of this coin?
Okay. All right.
Because I don't want to go off.
I think we should just agree he's a prick.
Okay, listen. That's that one. But here's another message from someone else.
Okay.
Okay? I just wanted to get both sides of, like, just the kind of messaging that I see. This kid, I'll say his name. His name's Curtis.
Okay.
Because he was saying something really nice. Okay. He says, I've been a fan for about 4 years and literally screamed when I got tickets to see you perform. Your music speaks volumes. Crazy world spoke out to me, especially being a gay black guy who struggled with acceptance from my family. Through all the madness yesterday, I shed a little tear hearing the line, less her and more him. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
yes, Curtis.
But then, you know, when you, that's the thing, like, I could spend my day, like, reading the messages from, like, anything.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Thing, like all the negative
things. Do you get
things.
Worse than that? Do you get really, I mean, do you get anything horrible or not?
I've had nasty messages like on my YouTube videos and like things like that. But it's like, for all the years that we've all been online, I reckon that a lot of us have built some type of like intelligence and like kind of a guard against that.
To know
like, okay, this is someone who just isn't well. You have like honest for real though. Because you think about you look at the tweet that they're tweeting or whatever they're messaging and you're like, see when you're like, this is what they're doing while they're tweeting this.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, in their underwear.
Yeah. You sometimes definitely got click on that.
You know, you've just woken up from sleep and you've got the dry spit. They've still got that on their mouth. They haven't brushed and they're doing that 8 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not the problem in your life.
Because we know that we're not the type of people to be like commenting on YouTube
videos talking about
starting fights and like trying to start shit. Like, that's not, we don't have time for that.
Yeah,
we have things to do.
Maybe we need
we
to start trolling like straight people or something. Maybe we should start
like, what is this?
You're disgusting.
Man and woman, get this away from my kids.
God made Adam and Steve.
Yeah.
Bastard.
But no, honestly, okay, so like, yeah, what I'm saying is that, it's like, the one side is definitely what we're talking about, how there are some people who are very, I guess, resistant. Because my
out of fear.
My album cover has me being held by a man. So it's like, I'm not running away from it. And so I do recognize that there will be some people who are uncomfortable with it. But I think when I was talking about, you know, in the tweets in the past, the assumption was that I said all straight men. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The thing is,
all straight black men.
Do you know what? Do you know what, Aminika? Yeah. You don't, like, when you're referring to, like, a group who have a reputation for being violent, you don't ever have to be like, oh, I'm aware that there are some good ones. Because the thing is, the good ones aren't enough. Because if that really is the case, then they will be putting that energy not in telling you that they're nice, but in holding their homophobic counterparts accountable. So it's just not good enough. if you are not actively doing anything to support people who aren't straight, and that means like either showing up for them, streaming their work, or buying tickets to their shows, or offering them support via DM or in public, or whatever you can do to contribute peace to their life, then you are taking part in the violence. Therefore, you deserve to be put in the box of all. And if you don't like it, then start doing the work on yourself, not spending that time trying to silence someone who's saying, hey, your foot is on my neck and it really, really hurts. That's not fair on you, and you should never be in a position where you feel like you need to, like, nah, it's not on. I'm not trying to hear it.
The nails on the head, boy. So we've kind of discussed, and it's like you guys were kind of had a quick discussion about race, and you're talking about like how people perceive you differently depending on your sexuality, race. So what about when it comes to gender, if that is ever correct saying?
Yeah, as a woman as well. I mean, not only am I white, but as a gay woman, obviously, you know, it's easier being white. It's easier being a lesbian because, you know, like I've told a lot of MCs, you know, I write a lot about grime. I've told a lot of MCs, you know, this is my girlfriend, if it's appropriate, not appropriate, if it's relevant at the time, if I have a girlfriend or like if it comes into conversation. So, and I've never had anyone be like, what? You know, there's never been any issue. People have always been super, super cool with that. So, and that's potentially, and I'm sure that there's been conversations, I don't recall any directly, but I'm sure there's been conversations when they're like, yeah, no, it's cool if you, you know, like two girls is hot. Like, you know, and you get the, obviously the old age old, like, do you want any boy to join in? Yes, it's exactly what I wanted. Thank you so much for asking.
Join in and provide us with just some snacks. Help crisps. Us refluff our pillows.
Yeah.
That's it.
That would be perfect. But yeah, so there is that being, you know, being a woman, being a gay woman, that, you know, it is quote unquote easier, which isn't to say it's easy, but it is easier.
Because what you're saying is interesting.
Please continue.
I say this because I find that I've been in similar settings, like grime settings or like, you know.
I'm sure it's been very different.
It's,
Or no.
I kind of go back to like, that like secondary school part of myself where I just kind of like edit myself, or I try to just like I just automatically dilute it for some reason. This is what I mean.
What do you mean?
I guess this is what I mean when I say like I'm like it's an everyday process. Of course, like I'm here, like I'm very much aware of myself and I'm very much comfortable, but I think it's like you know, you go to school every day and you say, okay, and now I'm going to be this version of myself, you know, and you read the rooms like violently. You make sure that you're trying to be the best person you can be for whatever room. And I think definitely when I was in school, there were times where like, I'd really try to suppress even any thought of me being like into boys or flamboyant or camp or anything like that. Obviously, when whatever situation I'm going into, I've got these nails. I am the way I am. Very sassy.
For those
and very
who cannot
whatever.
See, Emenike has got glittery gold.
Because it was my birthday yesterday, and I said,
happy birthday! You didn't say that. Okay, you said you turned 24. You didn't say
I just turned 24.
Yeah, we didn't say it was your birthday yesterday.
Scorpio season. It is Scorpio season.
Right.
Oh so God. It's my time to be bitchy and mad and go crazy. Yeah. But, like, I'm suppressing myself, guys. So. But yeah, I mean, it's just a classic thing. Sometimes you feel the need to just edit yourself. I know I definitely felt in some cases, like, around, like, the Stormzy campaign. But this is obviously not even to even just, like, do with him or how uncomfortable he made me feel about anything. It was just, like, you just go back to how you felt in secondary school.
Yeah.
I think another thing that was kind of interesting for me was that with some of the boys, I think when they realised that I was gay, they were like, oh, she's not trying to get with me. And actually...
They managed to make it about themselves.
I mean, of course.
In every aspect.
And then they would be like, you want to... Like, you can hang out because you're... Yeah, it's not about... Yeah, it's nuts. But it's worked in my favour. Like, potentially, maybe I've got more access to stuff, you know what I mean? Because they're... The threat...
Their girl's so comfortable around
gone.
You now, yeah. She's not...
I mean, yeah, there's that. It makes it about themselves.
So that's interesting. Obviously, me as a straight male, this is the first time I'm really having like an intimate conversation of this nature. So do you feel like, because for me, if someone walks into a room and they're gay, I'm at a point where it's you in it. What's that got to do with me? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Of course.
So do you honestly feel like, obviously, I'm not saying honestly, but is that the feeling when you walk into a room, you feel like say for instance, if I walk into a room and maybe there's just all white people in it, all of a sudden I'm thinking, okay, I need to kind of like, I want to be myself, but I
I need to kind of check how I act.
Conscious of the kind of jokes you make or fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
It's extremely similar. You know what I mean? It's like, it's both are very similar. Like, when you're going into situations where...
Is that even amongst your own community?
You know what,
in some cases.
In the black community, there'll be instances.
In some cases, because, you know, it's just like...
In the past, I would try and slip into the fact that I was gay. Like, say if I went to a hen do with a bunch of girls I didn't know that were all pretty much straight, I would try and slip in that I was gay so that if there was any jokes made later on about lesbians, it would be less awkward.
Oh, shit.
Like, that would be just, as a low-key in the back of my mind, there would be stuff like that I would do.
You just blew my mind. It's just honestly things. Just blew my mind.
It's the mind, you know...
Why is your mind blown?
Because I have a friend that I know, and every situation, like whenever you're in a new situation, he'll like preempt and he'll say the fact that he's gay, even if it's not entirely relevant. But I didn't know it was kind of like a secure.
Need someone to just assume it or whatever. Because, like, people also try other things. Like, I've been in situations where I've been in, like, very straight settings and, like, maybe someone has sensed that I'm gay and they say, oh, you looking for any girls in here? And it's just like, relax, I'm not. That's not what I'm going to do right now. I'm gay. Get over it, please. Like... It's classic.
I think it's changed me. Like before, it would be because I was gonna try and avoid any like awkward circumstances. Yeah. Now it's more just like, what is it now? Like I'm much less conscious of like actively telling people, but it's much more that I guess I just want it. You just want it out there. It's just like this is who I am. Like so, and I'm kind of proud of it. So. It's more, I guess it's changed as I've changed over the years. My arrival of my gayness is much more coming from a place of pride rather than like fear or like, you know, trying to prevent an awkward situation.
Mm. That's interesting.
I have a question for you both. What's your higher purpose in the work that you're doing?
Oh, that's too deep.
Yeah, Chidi, man, you just flipped it. You're just dissing the people on Twitter. You're saying they don't cream their elbows, and now you just went into philosophy about life.
I said they don't scrub their bum because they haven't. So I like homophobia. They think it makes them gay to scrub their bum. That's what I said.
I mean,
for people that are homophobic, not to worry about scrubbing their bum in the future. That would be good.
Yeah, for real. I say, honestly, I think the higher purpose in my career, I mean... Obviously, I get to make music for a living, and like, music is my first love. And so I get to do that. That's totally fine. If I can help the next out gay black boy feel comfortable enough to do the things I'm doing as far as making records for people, telling their own stories, becoming executives, becoming, you know, opening up that conversation and opening up that possibility, like I'd love to be a part of that history and a part of that, I want to be one of the ones that get to do that and then influence the next person.
So is your music, would you say it's in a sense protest music? Would you say if you looked at it on a deep level? No, you don't. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I mean, protest music sounds vex.
You know what I'm saying? No, but if you look at a term,
but
like if you just
look at it,
it's
political. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I mean,
that's
it's
what
pop
I'm
music
saying.
Though.
That's what I find beautiful about protest music.
And not all
when
protest
you
is anger.
Yeah, when you categorize it in one way, it's kind of like, what is war, all that kind of stuff. But I'm saying if you're outwardly championing a cause that you feel like is under discussed or people are underrepresented, then essentially is that not you?
I'd say I'm the protest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
I'm the protest, and everything I do within the protest is an accessory to the protest.
Because I feel like when I listen to language, it doesn't feel like I'm listening to anything that's like protesty
I think what's it called, inadvertently, because everything you're saying that you're trying to achieve,
it's very existence is radical,
to
radical
choose
or political.
To show up as you are in a world that tells you don't,
exactly.
you don't belong here. But I just feel like why language is so important as well is because you are showing the multifaceted life of a gay black man. Like you're just living your life, and each song represents like a different facet of you just being free-spirited, and that in itself, whether you choose to embody that or not, is radical, because the world tells you you're not supposed to be here, and you're like, I'm here and my nails are painted.
Yeah.
Come fight me.
Come fight.
Come and fight, because we can't square up. These won't chip because it's shellac. So...
It's true, these are shellac. Yeah. These won't chip. So like...
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
For real, they are shellac. Feel that. No crack whatsoever.
Oh my goodness.
Do you know what your high vibe is?
Oh, I was hoping I'd get away with not having to answer that.
Nah, not on here, boy.
Do you know what? I think it's just to help the advancement and the visibility of anyone that considers themselves other. So if I can... I know you guys talked about this with Olivia a little bit when she was on the show, and it's something that I'm thinking about a lot, but it's a whole other story. But like, if it's me helping to shine a spotlight on the music I love, which tends to be made mostly by, in the sense of grime, young black males, if I can sort of help in sort of shining a spotlight on that, if anyone needs my help, but like, or if it's talking about trans rights or gay rights, then, you know, that's I suppose something that I would be very proud of doing, or I'd be happy to do. So I guess it's the furthering of anyone that kind of feels other, because I felt like other, and I think that's why I love grime so much, because although I wasn't from anywhere near that sort of life, I felt as a gay woman like other all the time. I felt kind of different.
Yeah.
And that's why I love grime so much, because it also felt very other and outcast and outside society. So that's where I guess I relate with it. So yeah, in the future, if I can bring that to the world and like as a writer shine a light on other, then that's something that I will be quite pleased with. And I also want to write a film and like, you know, win an Oscar and
jeez,
like, you know, buy a house in Saint-Tropez.
Right, you heard it here first. What, you know, that's it.
Like, have you guys watched the Quincy documentary?
Yeah, dope.
No,
dope.
I need to.
You need to.
Guy's got a legacy, man. Legacy's too deep.
Isn't
man,
he like
yeah,
properly a G?
Bro, this could be you. Deep, man. There's no reason why you cannot be Quincy.
You've already got Beyonce on your roster, bro. You're on your way.
Do you understand? Imagine having that.
There's a lot to do.
Nah, you started.
Yeah, but you're 24.
I am 24. There's a lot. There's so much to do.
Can you imagine you at 14?
I've got to be dead, and then I can say, right, now, okay, what have you done?
Like, you could be, but to be the gay Quincy Jones, how much better is that? That's even better than being Quincy.
Sounds fun. Can't lie.
That has been such an incredible conversation. But before we wrap, what we do on this show is that we always ask every single person in the room to say what they've learned. Because as much as it's, you know, it's great to have all these discussions and to really express yourself and vent and get it all out, it's also really key that we all recognise that we're all on the same level, and that what's the point in having these discussions if we aren't learning from each other? So yes. I guess I'll start with myself on what I've learnt. I've learnt from MNEK, I've learnt from you the importance of, like, if you're going to tell your story, then you might as well, like, tell it loud. Especially when you know, like, the environment that you exist in doesn't want you here. So the fact that, like, even the little detail you said about how your cover art has you being held by a man, that's really key. That's really important. That's you really, really loudly telling your story. You're using every possible opportunity to be like, I'm here, I'm bold, I'm going to be loud as hell, and I'm going to speak my truth. And I think just seeing that really, really constantly inspires me to do the same with myself as well, and be bold in all my layers, and recognize that, again, people like me as well, like a black woman who's loud, not supposed to exist, I'm going to be very, very loud in every capacity possible. So thank you.
Yeah.
Your turn, Silly. What have you learned? I'll give you time to figure out what you've learned.
No, I think it's been very interesting. I think maybe I've learned, not from myself, but I've learned more about myself just talking to you guys, in the sense where, like, you kind of get to this place in the world where you feel like, because you've come to a certain space, you feel like the whole world is still, everyone's come to that place in the world, you know what I mean? Just because you've come to understand something, you assume, oh, the whole world's progressive, it's not that much of a big deal. So if I have a conversation with a friend or someone who's gay, I never even talk to them about being gay. So inadvertently, you never continue educating yourself around, you know what I mean? So some of the things you guys just said to me, I'm like, I kind of should have known that, do you understand? But it's kind of like, oh, cool, like, it's not a big deal to me, so why is it that everyone else would still care? But like you said, there's still kind of, like, little, like, microaggressions and kind of things that you still face on a day-to-day that I guess, like, I'm still ignorant of in a way, do you get what I'm saying? So it was kind of like a self-learning about myself where I thought, oh, right, like, I've got to this point where, like, you know, like, I'm aware and I've learned stuff, but there's still basically, you still need to have more conversations, you know what I mean? And sometimes uncomfortable conversations, but that's how you learn, do you get what I'm saying?
So yes.
I think that's maybe for me, yeah.
What have I learned? I think I've learned that there are people who are still willing to learn. You know what I mean? And there's still people who are willing to listen to everyone's stories and everyone's perspective on life and not shut it down and be like, oh, you're lying. Like, you don't really go through that. Like, from you, like, you're literally, you know, hearing what me and Hattie are saying, what we've been through in our experiences that don't mirror yours entirely. And you take it in and you're like, you're looking, you're asking yourself the questions. Like, as we were talking, I was seeing you, like,
yeah. Literally
be like, you're, like, deep in it. Like, actually deep in it and being like,
yeah, nah, you like, put me on something. No, real talk, no, really.
So, like, I appreciate that. The fact, because there's a lot of people out there who wouldn't and would just cut you off. So I've learned that there are people willing to listen.
I think I knew this, but it was very good to be reminded, and that was what you were saying to Dara about the violence and how you can be complicit by not engaging. And I think I need to be reminded that, you know, whether it comes to trans rights or race or, you know, however many different things in the world that we need to be thinking more about. And I think as a friend, like you were just saying, Sully, I think like, I haven't worked out how to raise this, but sometimes as some of my friends who are straight can say the craziest things to me, like, do these shoes make me look lesbian?
Wow.
Right?
Wait, I don't know how to start with that.
I'm like...
What do lesbian crepes look like?
That's what I was saying.
What are lesbian crepes? What are lesbian crepes? That's actually the truth.
I need to know. Like, I actually need to know.
This is what I mean, I'm saying. And, as, and like, how do you... What do you say to that? I mean, I was like, babe, I think... You need a. I mean, I don't even. I don't know what I said, but like, I don't think you need to worry about shoes making.
Just wear a stiletto and go.
Take those Doc Martens off. It's crazy, and I'm trying to figure out how I respond to people in when I get those kind of micro crazy. Just people that are just thoughtless, but also for myself, like in situations that I'm in where I'm trying to figure out how I can be better. And I talk to my friends that might be different, like maybe a black gay male. Or, you know, whatever, like, I think it's really important for all of us to remember, regardless of, like, who we are or how we identify, whatever, that is, you need to think constantly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a great point for us to conclude on, guys. Really, really appreciate both of you. Really appreciate your insight and appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you for
You're
having
so
us.
You're so welcome.
It's been a pleasure.
I'm going to take my
so
lesbian much. Crepes with me.
Yeah. Oh, my
Skip
God.
Skip out the room. Stomp out the room.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.